This is Allison Godwin reporting with KVNF. I'm interviewing Jim Cooper, who is the president of Oxbow Mining. What do you do when you close one mine and open another?
Well, we've got to do a lot of construction work and build a set of new facilities and railroad and places to load the coal. And then the guys have to be transferred and they have to be retrained to new conditions and everything. Mining is heavily regulated, and we have a lot of plans that we have to put together for that.
Okay, and can you see other energy industries working with coal?
I think they do already. I mean, you know that there's oil and gas that has been being drilled here in the valley because there's been a lot of opposition to it, but there's a lot of opposition to coal right now out in the public. And I think that the coal is very important. It's important to our energies, to the United States security, and it's very important to our energy going forward so people can afford to pay for electricity and food.
Do you think the new mine will affect the town of Paonia?
You know, I don't really. I mean, we're going to be further from Paonia than we are right now. We're going to be over west of Hotchkiss. And I think it'll be a positive effect that people around here still have jobs and can still do business with the local businesses in Paonia. It's not so far away that it'll cause anybody to move, so everybody will stay located just where they are.
Is Bill Cook fun to work with?
Why didn't you ask your dad that instead of me, if I'm going on TV? Mr. Coke is a very smart person. He has a doctor's degree from MIT, and I think in his circles and in the things he wants to do, he's probably fun. But as far as me working for him, I'm responsible, and I have a lot of things to be responsible for, and that's what he expects out of me.
And I've noticed in the newspaper there's an article. What does it mean?
Oh, that coal's taking its marketing lumps. The economy has been down all over the whole nation. And that means that a lot of cement plants and other things aren't running to their highest. People aren't using as much electricity as they did use. We had a very warm winter, and people didn't burn as much coal in generating electricity, the power plants. And across the United States, there's a historic level of coal on stockpiles at the utilities. And then the other thing is natural gas, which is a competitor in generating electricity with the coal industry. And natural gas has been extremely cheap for the last 6 months. So it's down below $3 a million. And below $3 a million, coal can't compete with it. It's more economical to use the natural gas than it is coal. That's what that says about the market, coal companies taking lumps from the market.
How many years do you have to go through to be a coal miner?
You know, if a while back the federal government wouldn't hire anybody as a mine inspector unless they had 4 years of underground experience. And basically most of us here at the mine feel like that you've got to be underground anywhere from 2 to 4 years before you really make a good coal miner, and it's somebody that you can count on just to leave them by themselves to do the job that they're responsible for doing underground. And the federal law says that nobody can go underground without 40 hours of training, number one. And then number two, as long as they are underground for their first year, they have to always work with an experienced miner. That's why you'll see some of our coal miners wearing white hats or black hats, and you'll see some wearing green hats. The green hats can't go work by themselves. They've got to always be working with an experienced coal miner.
How do you know where to find coal?
You know, I wish I had a map now that you said that. There's years ago, the USGS, which is United States Geological Survey Group, did a lot of mapping underground and did boreholes. They've done some right across this valley here. And according to their records right now, the North Fork Valley contains about 744 million tons of coal reserves. Now, all of that can't necessarily be mined. Of course, some of it will be under the natural forest over here, the Gunnison Natural Forest. But the valley is real rich in coal reserves. And really, the coal reserves are known in the United States, and they're named by basins. We're in the Uinta Basin.
Yeah. How deep can you go when you're coal mining?
You know, you can go as deep as you can do it safely. And we have exactly that problem right now. We're about 2,600 feet underground. And I don't mean back underground traveling. I mean straight down. And a lot of people in the past have thought that 1,800 feet or 2,000 feet was the deepest that anybody could mine coal that was that deep. We're the second deepest operating coal mine in the United States. The deepest one is in Utah. They're at 2,800 feet, and we're about 2,600. I don't know that there is a limit, but I do believe that nobody considers reserves over 3,000 feet deep as reserves.
How is Aspen Ski Company working with Oxbow?
Well, for a long time ago, and you know, it's been talked about in this valley for a long time about how hazardous the methane is that comes out of this that's liberated in a coal mining operation into the atmosphere. I don't believe that. I believe that the worst thing to the atmosphere in the state of Colorado is vehicles. And they far exceed the emissions that are emitted from any coal mine. What we've been doing, though, because of that public pressure, is for about 4 years we've been looking for a way to at least capture some or use some or destroy some, and we wanted it to be in an economical manner. So people have talked about us flaring. This mine, namely me, is very negative about flaring. And it's not because I believe that you can't stop the flames from traveling underground, which is a problem that MSHA has, which is the mine safety regulations. My problem is that we're located here at such an altitude that borehole gives you a direct, and that tower that you're going to flare with gives you a direct line in the mine as far as lightning goes. And I do believe that one of the worst episodes that we've had in a mine disaster in the 2000s was the Seiko incident back east, which was caused by lightning. I feel comfortable with that, and they're saying maybe, you know, is what it amounts to. So what we were doing is looking for a way to do that. We had a guy named Tom Vessels that owns Vessels Oil and Gas. He believed that he could generate it and sell the electricity. Selling electricity is not our expertise. Our expertise is mining coal. So we partnered with him. He got a electrical production contract, and he's been working at it for over 3 years with Holy Cross Electric Company, which is located in Aspen. And the Aspen Ski Company got very interested in that, and they have partnered with Tom to do some of the financing, and they're tickled to death to advertise to people that they're buying electric power that comes from a waste product, being the methane off the coal mine.
How do you see underground?
By opening your eyes. I'll get a cap lamp and show you. I bet you already know it just because of your dad, though. But all miners have cap lamps on, and critical pieces underground have lights on them that we're required to have that see area lighting. And in special workplaces like power centers and places like that have lighting installed underground. But yes, it is dark.
How does the coal industry keep going?
Well, in the valley, and I think most people here have been involved in it, I mean, we've faced, all three mines have faced a lot of resistance from environmental groups. They appeal everything. We have to apply for either state permits or federal permits for anything we do. And they have appeal processes in them after the comment period. So, you know, we have that appeal process, and it keeps slowing things down. And that's got frustrating for all three mines is what it's got. But I believe that the coal in this valley is a very high-quality coal. It's some of the highest-quality coal And it is really the highest quality coal being produced in Colorado. And it's very low sulfur, low mercury. You can't even measure the mercury in the coal in this valley. I think 0.2 milligrams is about what they can measure, and they just always write that on all of our analysis. So I think for a utility coal, a coal that's used to burn burn and create electricity, I think the valley has a future for that. I believe, why do I believe coal is important? I believe coal is the most abundant energy that the U.S. has. I believe that any cost in energy affects your family, my family, the school, and everything else. And it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, if you go buy carrots at Safeway, they have to use electricity to cool them. So the price of that carrot's going up. And I believe as energy goes, then I think so goes our capabilities of making a product in Colorado and shipping it. And you have to get concerned about the senior people in the valley because they're on fixed income to pay, having to pay their electricity and everything. I also believe that, you know, everybody that the U.S. is buying energy from, you know, oil where we're shipping it in from, not any of the nations we're buying from are friendly to us. And if that happens, if it happens that they cut us off, where would we be? We need everything, and we can't. Wind and solar right now, I've been to meetings here where a certain person stands up and says, why aren't we using solar energy? It's cheapest energy. It's free. Solar energy is the most expensive energy in the United States, and people don't realize that. Even here in Colorado, where we have 250 to 300 sunny days a year, it's still the most expensive energy that's produced. Wind energy is about $8 a million. Coal energy is just a little over $2 per million. Oil and gas is about $6 per million. It's lower right now because there's been such an abundance of gas hit the market, but it'll go back up because that's how much it costs to find it. That's the best answer I can give you, young lady.